Well, it is always wonderful to be back at The Crossing, and I bring you greetings from Atlanta, Georgia, and I'll try to keep my y'alls to a minimum, okay? So, but I love being back here, and let me go ahead and tell you the title of my message today, which is, Lord, where are you? Lord, where are you? I call these the Lord, where are you moments. You ever had a Lord, where are you moment? You know, you're doing the best you can. You know, you're going to work or raising kids or going to school or whatever. And it just seems like you can't catch a break and the challenges keep coming and coming. And finally, you kind of stop and pause and kind of look up and go, Lord, but with all due respect, where are you? You ever been there? In fact, if you're here today at any of our campuses and you would say, well, Jeff, I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never had a Lord, where are you moment. God answers my prayers every single time. Actually, I've never had to wait on God. I don't know what that's like. In fact, right before I say my prayer, God already answers me. I don't know what you're talking about. I've never had a Lord, where are you moment. If that's you today, congratulations. But on behalf of the rest of us, we hate you. Okay, and so we don't hate you. We love you. But we're jealous. We're jealous. Okay, So, but for the rest of us, we've just had these Lord, where are you moments. And so here's what I've been praying for you leading up to our time together and our campuses and those online. My hope is in our few minutes together that you're going to walk away encouraged and strengthened, just being reminded of where God is. Because here's the great news. God might be closer than you think. And when we understand that, I think it gives us the strength and the power through him to maybe just take a step. And that may be all you need to do today is just take one more step. We're going to talk about that. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at an Old Testament story that's so powerful and so pivotal. And in essence, the people in this story are asking the question, Lord, where are you? So we're going to look at that. But before I go there, I want to illustrate where we're going today. And when I illustrate this, I'm going to show you how old I am, okay? So I want to show you a toy. And this toy had no batteries and no internet, which I think we should probably go back to those days, all right? So, and here's the toy. It's the Viewfinder. Anybody ever remember these? The Viewfinder, the Viewmaster, right? This is actually in the Toy Hall of Fame. I didn't know there was a Toy Hall of Fame. This is great. So for those of you that are younger and you don't know what this is, here's what you do. Just you look at it like this, and there's nothing currently in there. But then this was our version of artificial intelligence right here, okay? So you would do it, and you just, now I'm looking at, like, there's a penguin there, there's an elephant there, and so that was the viewfinder, all right? So here's what happens. What we're going to do today is all of us, wherever you are in your life, is from a spiritual standpoint, this might be your first time in church, or, you know, you've been like me, you went to church 9 months before you were born, all right? So you've been around this all your life, but we all have our view of our circumstances, right? We all have, and this is what we do, and we'll go in tomorrow, and this, we're viewing our circumstances. And if we're not careful, our circumstances can convince us that God's either forgotten us, God's paying attention to other people, but he's not paying attention to me. God, where are you? And what we're going to do today is through the scriptures, this is going to be our filter, and this is truth, we're going to put this through our viewfinder. And as we allow God to speak through us through his word, what we're going to do is we're going to see where the Lord is. And when we understand and look at our circumstances through the truth of where the Lord is, we're reminded that God's really, really close, and he's with us. And he will give us the power and the strength and the courage and the vision and the joy, by the way, to take one step closer. The story we're going to look at happens in the book of Exodus, and it's the story of Moses going to Pharaoh in Egypt, in essence, telling him to let God's people go. The nation of Israel has been enslaved by Egypt, and now finally Pharaoh lets them go, and they're headed toward the promised land. But Pharaoh has a change of heart and says, wait a minute, if they leave, our economy is going to be wrecked, so let's go get them and bring them back. So he rustles up his army, and they go chasing after them. And the nation of Israel basically finds themselves between a rock and a hard place. They find themselves between Egypt, and as they're going, following Moses, Moses is leading them to the Red Sea, and now they're trapped. Have you ever felt trapped before? You're doing your best, and you just feel like there's no way out. And so they begin having a conversation with Moses, in essence, complaining and asking the question, Lord, where are you? So what we're going to see today is this story is a picture and a reminder for you and for me where the Lord is. Now, before we go there, I thought I would share with you one of my most significant Lord, where are you moments, because I'm there too, right? Just because I'm up here preaching with a tie on doesn't mean that I disqualified from this. I mean, I've had those moments where I'm like, and I'm a professional Christian. Lord, where are you? Where are you? And so I was reminded of this when my son Cole graduated from college just a few weeks ago. My wife and I are empty nesters, which we would highly recommend. And so we love our kids though. And so when Cole graduated, it just reminded me of this season when I graduated, and the season that I was walking into was going to be a season of a Lord, where are you moment. So I graduated from the University of Georgia with a degree in advertising, and I was looking for a job in advertising. And back in those days, economy was tough, jobs were scarce in the advertising field, and I wanted to live in Atlanta. And so I, you know, couldn't find a job. But finally one day, I got, and this is, by the way, this is before the days of LinkedIn, all right? So you're just mailing out resumes, right? And I got a call from one of the most prestigious advertising firms in Atlanta, and which is awesome. And they said, Jeff, we've got it. We've just signed a new client, and we have two jobs, one an account executive, and the other is an assistant account executive. And we'd like to talk to you about being the assistant account executive. Well, this is so exciting, because again, graduating out of college to be able to work for this firm in Atlanta, this is a big deal, right? So I go through the interview process, and they call me back a few days later, and they offer me the job. And so that's great. So they said, okay, but here's the deal. We haven't found your boss, the account executive, yet. So give us a couple of weeks. We'll call you back. We'll hire that person, and then we'll let you start. So they call me back a couple of weeks later, and they said, well, Jeff, here's the deal. We haven't been able to find the account executive. So what we want to do, we've talked among the firm, our leadership team, we don't want to hire you as the assistant account executive. We want to hire you as the account executive. Well, this is a big deal. So I'm on the phone, right, getting this call. So I'm doing this number, like, oh, this is awesome, right? And then he goes, and Jeff, it gets better. I'm like, it gets better? How could this possibly get better? He goes, I can tell you the name of the client, because they had a confidentiality agreement that they couldn't say the name of the client until they got a little closer. So anyway, and he told me the name of the client, and immediately my heart sank. Suddenly, I had a dilemma. Nothing against this company, nothing against this firm, nothing against any of that. But just for me as a Christ follower, I couldn't see me waking up and advertising this company. So suddenly I had a dilemma. What do I do? So again, I'm on the phone with the president of the firm. So I said, can I come in tomorrow and talk to you? He said, absolutely. You know, we need to wrap up some final details. So finish that call and call my dad. As I mentioned, I may have mentioned I'm a preacher's kid, so call my dad and I said, Dad, can I come over and have dinner with you and Mom to talk about this? He said, absolutely, which was really convenient because I was still living with Mom and Dad, okay? So the drive over was really convenient, okay? So I told my dad what I just told you, right? And my dad says. He goes, oh, son, this is simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and make decisions knowing that God is with you. That's how you do this. I'm like, whoa, Dad. First of all, I don't really need a Bible verse. I need a job right now, okay? But this isn't easy. He goes, whoa, time out. I didn't say this is going to be easy. This is going to be really hard. But it's simple. When you make decisions, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you're confident that the Lord is with you, you kind of know what you're supposed to do, right? So the next day, I go down to this really plush palatial office in downtown Atlanta, and I do the best I can, and I was very nervous. I'm in the office of the president of the PR firm and the advertising firm, and I know I probably didn't do a very good job. But I just said, you know, with all due respect to you and this company, I can't do this. Is there any other client I could work with? And so, I mean, this is back in the 80s, and this is, you know, I'm in the South, right? So he leans over, and he calls me son. He says, son, do you have any idea what kind of opportunity this is that you're passing up? And I said, yes, sir, I do. And he got up out of his chair and he walked out of the office. And I'm like, I think the meeting is over, along with my brief advertising career. So I got home that day, and this was back in the day when you had like an answering machine. Remember those? I'm going old school. I got this. I got an answering machine. It's awesome. And I expected somebody to call me, you know, from the heavens and go, hey, we got a great new job, better than that one for you. But nobody called me that day. Nobody called me that week. Nobody called
in 2 weeks. No one called week three. No one called me week four. No one called me week five. No one called me week six. No one called me week seven. No one called me week eight. Are you seeing a trend here? And I remember having a conversation with my dad, and I said, Dad, if at age 43 I'm still living with you and Mom, you have no one to blame but you, Dad. This is your fault. And I'll never forget this. He said, Son, I can't tell you when. I can't tell you how. I can't tell you how it's going to play out. But this much I can promise you. There's coming a day when you're going to look back on this decision and you're going to see it was one of the best decisions you ever made, because that's how life works. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you're confident that God is with you. You walk in that, and someday, someday, you're going to see that. So if you're in a Lord, where are you moment, what we have to be reminded of and encouraged and strengthened by is that the Lord isn't far away. He's really, really close. And the Lord is in three places, as we see in this story in Exodus chapter 14. Now, before we go to Exodus 14, I actually want to read us Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, because Moses gets to the end of his life. By the way, Deuteronomy 31 is so rich with wisdom, because here's a man who has followed God in some pivotal moments in the Bible, and he's now reflecting as he gets to the end of his life. He's basically saying, here's what I would love to share with you about my experience about God and what's true about this for you. And this is, Moses gives us a preview of where God is. And this is what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. He says, the Lord himself goes before you. We're going to come back to that in just a second. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. We're going to come back to that as well. So where are you, Lord? Well, the Lord goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And then Moses says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So where is the Lord? The Lord's in three places. The first place he is the Lord goes before you. The Lord goes before you. This is great news, because what that means is that the Lord is walking ahead of you, and he's preparing your way. But what's interesting about this story is, as I mentioned, the nation of Israel thinks they're trapped. The people that's following Moses out of Egypt, now they're going to the Red Sea, and they feel trapped, and they begin to complain, and they begin to go, we should have never left, and they begin to grumble. And then Moses is looking to God going, what do I do here? And I love God's response in Exodus chapter 14, verse 19. It's a little blunt, all right? But it's an insight about what God wants us to do with this truth that he goes before us. He says to Moses in verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. In other words, keep going. And here's what we have to understand about this story and about situations like this in life. As the nation of Israel was walking to the Red Sea, and they're like, what do we do? There's this body of water in front of us. We think that we want God to part the waters first, and then we walk in. That's not how it works. What God is saying is, go ahead and walk. There's a sea here. I don't care. Go ahead and walk. Trust me. Take a step forward. And here's why this is important. When we do that, we remind ourselves that the Lord goes before me. I just have to take one step at a time. I was reminded of this just a few years ago. I was in a career transition in my life, and I was launching a particular business, and I'd never really done this before. And I was, you know, when you do something like that, you're really nervous and concerned, and is this going to work out? And I was speaking at a conference with John Maxwell. I don't know if you're familiar with John, but John has he's sold 34 million books, which is 33,900,000 more books than I have, okay? So he's like the guru of leadership. He travels all over the world speaking. I mean, it's amazing. So I'm speaking at this conference. He goes first. I'm going to speak after him. And he said this statement, and it is so reverberated with me ever since. And I think connects to this verse. John said this. He said, I never had a clear vision. I just kept moving forward. I never had a clear vision. I just kind of kept moving forward. And I remember John saying that, and I thought, wait, what? You never had a clear vision? I mean, you're John Maxwell. I mean, I understand me. What do I know? But you, and what I've begun to understand about people that I admire, yeah, they have dreams and visions, but it's not really clear all the time. But you know what is clear? The Lord goes before me. So you know what I need to do? I got to take a step. And here's why this is important. When it comes to your faith and mine, faith eventually requires action. Faith eventually requires action. It takes a step forward. That's why God says to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to keep moving forward. Not coincidentally, by the way, Jesus comes along the scene many years later and says these two words to you and me because he goes before us. He said, follow me. You know what that means? It means that Jesus is taking you somewhere and he can be trusted. He can be trusted even when it seems like he's nowhere to be found. He can be trusted. Follow me. So when it comes to the Lord goes before you, here's the question. Each one of these locations, these three locations where God is, I want to give you an action statement. And here's the question I have for you on this one. What is one step toward Jesus that you can take today? What's one step toward Jesus that you can take today? Maybe you're in a job transition or job uncertainty. You know, one step could be you join us for breakfast here at the Chesterfield campus tomorrow. That's one step. Or maybe you pick up the phone a few more times and call people and try to network and ask them to meet with you. That's a step. Or maybe as a parent, there's something that you can do to bridge that relationship with your child. What's one step that you can take to keep moving forward because the Lord goes before you. So when I like talking to college students and people that have graduated from college in particular, and they're trying to figure out, you know, the rest of their career, especially once they've graduated, and they're like, okay, what do I do for the rest of my life? And by the way, this is true no matter how old you are. And here's what I tell them, and I think I can kind of see the pressure release off of them when I tell them this, and here's what I tell them. Great news. You don't have to figure out the rest of your life. You just have to figure out what to do next. And the great news is the Lord is right there. So when you and I take just one simple step of faith, one simple step of wisdom, it helps us. And if you're here today and you go, Jeff, this question, I don't really know. Here's one of the many wonderful things about being at this church. I love the Crossing. Is there's so many godly women and men here that you could gather together and go, hey, I'm not quite sure what my next step is. Could you help me? It doesn't have to be gigantic. It actually should probably be pretty small and, you know, consistently small that leads to larger things. I've been doing this for years. There's a group of men in my life, and I tell them they're way wiser, and I often tell them this as well. They're way, way older than me. And so, but I'm going, hey, I don't really know what to do. Can you help me? And we figure out not some gigantic leap. We usually just figure out one small step. And here's why this is so important. When you figure out that one small step, I think Jesus is saying there and going, all right, thank you. Now let's take another one. Because faith eventually requires action. So Lord, where are you? Well, the Lord goes before you. Number two, the Lord is behind you. What does this mean? The Lord is behind you. Well, there's this powerful part of this story in Exodus 14, verse 19. It says this, then the angel of God, pause, many scholars point to this moment and say that this is a Christophany. What's a Christophany? A Christophany is when Jesus shows up in the Old Testament. And that's what many scholars say, this angel of God, it's not just any angel, it's the angel, it's Jesus, which is powerful. But whether that's true or not, what's real here is that God goes behind the nation of Israel. Why does he go behind the nation of Israel? Well, watch this. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front, and here's our word again, stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. No, so neither went near the other all night long.
So get this picture. So the nation of Israel is moving toward where God has called them to be, and they do what you and I have a tendency to do. They look back over their shoulder and look at their past. Ever done that? And sometimes we look at our past and we think, oh, it wasn't so bad over there. But many times when we look over our shoulder to our past, let me tell you what we see. We see shame, regret, mistakes, failures, and those speak to us saying, you can't possibly have a brighter future. And they try to hold us down. And you know who that voice is? The scripture is really clear about this. The scriptures say that you have an accuser of the brethren. What that means is that's your enemy, Satan, who's whispering to you and pointing you back to the mistakes or the shame of the past. And here's what I hope for many, hopefully all of you, but particularly those of you who've been saddled from shame, saddled down by regret, because you have a tendency as you're going forward in life to look over your shoulder at the past. God is behind you. So that when you look in your past, I want you to see from now on your Savior, your Redeemer, your forgiveness, your mercy, you're cleansed, you're righteous. Not because of anything you did, but because of what he did for you. And when you see that, the voice of the accuser gets silent. You know, one of the strategies I've used for the voice of the accuser, when the voice of the accuser has accused me, I shared this a few years ago. I really, you may find this hard to believe, but I really struggle with anxiety getting up here to speak. And that really has bothered me for several years. So, you know, one of the voice, when I kind of push back to the voice of the accuser to go, well, you might be true, but you need to take that up with Jesus. You need to take that up with Jesus because he's got my back. And so some of you from now on, when you look into your past, you don't need to see the past. You need to see your Savior. And if you'll do that, here's the thing. Here's a great thing about God having your back. It allows you to move forward because you can kind of release the things in your past. This is why I love Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. It says, hey, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Yeah, we have our certain levels of responsibility, but when it comes to our back in the past, I'm going to let God fight with that, and I'm going to keep moving forward. So what's the action item for this one? Well, the action item with this one is simply this. Fear not. Stand firm. God's got your back. God's behind you. Fear not. Stand firm. God's got your back. You know who also is in your back over here? It's your critics. Got any critics? None of y'all are on social media? Okay, good. That's healthy. That's healthy. I don't know about you, but you know, I'm a retired pastor, and so I would, you know, did this for 18 years, and so I would get like, if I got some emails, you know, several emails saying, hey, what a great sermon. But if I got one that didn't like the sermon, guess which one I would think more about? Not the ones that were, hey, that was great. It was the one, you know. And I love the anonymous ones too, the anonymous letters. I'm convinced we're going to find out in heaven who they are. And probably find out that they're not in heaven. Okay, so that's another time for another sermon for another time. All right. And I'm not saying you, if I get something wrong, maybe I've already gotten something wrong, feel free to email me. I'm not saying don't do that. In fact, my email is gregholder@thecrossing.com. Okay, so. But sometimes we get so bothered by the critics and people shooting arrows that it prevents us from going forward, even if they're wrong. And here's what I've discovered. Often, one of the wisest things to do in life is letting people be wrong about you. Because you just got to keep moving forward. Your focus should be on Jesus, not the critics, even if they're wrong, okay? All right, so, Lord, where are you? Well, the Lord goes before you. The Lord is behind you. And then the Lord is beside you. The Lord is, remember Deuteronomy 31:8? As Moses is looking over this story in his life, he goes, hey, don't forget this. The Lord goes before you and is with you. That's what this word beside means. And it's not a coincidence, I believe, that Jesus, of all the things he could have said before he ascended into heaven, he reminded you and me that he is with us. He's beside us. This is what he said. His words, not mine. Matthew 28:20. And behold, I'm with you always. I'm with you. I'm beside you, even to the end of the age. So when it comes to Matthew 28
and knowing that, and as Moses said, the Lord goes before you and he is with you. Here's my question for you. What would you do if you were confident that God was with you? What would you do tomorrow when you go to work? What would you do? How would you work? How would you approach your work if you were confident the Lord was with you? Students, as you're getting ready for school, after the first service, I asked a middle school student, is she getting ready? Is she excited about school? Here was her answer. I love that. Okay. All right. That's great. That's awesome. But as you get ready for school, what would you do if you were confident that this school year, God was going to be with you? And here's our reality. When we understand this and that God is with us, it gives us the strength maybe just to take a step toward tomorrow. Jesus actually said, by the way, don't worry about tomorrow, focus on today. So when it comes, when you wake up, what would I do if I were confident that God was with you? That's what my dad told me all those many years ago. Hey, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and make decisions knowing that God is with you. So here's our question today. Lord, looking at my circumstances, and I can't see you. I don't know where you are. It sure doesn't feel like it. It's getting more challenging. I feel trapped. We've put the scriptures into our filter, and here's what we've learned today, that the Lord goes before you. The Lord is behind you, and the Lord is beside you. This is why I love this, because if you've ever felt trapped, as the nation of Israel did between Pharaoh and the Red Sea, here's what you have to understand. And here's what this story is telling us. You're not trapped. You're surrounded. You're not trapped. You're surrounded by the God of the universe who knows your name. By the way, you're his idea. And God doesn't create junk. He creates beauty. And he looks at you and goes, look at her. Look at him. I created that. That's mine. She's mine. You're surrounded by that. That's why I love this verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 22. This is talking about God. He took care of them on every side. When my dad turned 80, he said, son, I love being 80. I'm like, okay, Dad, I don't really hear that a lot, but tell me why. He goes, because when I get to 80, I've been able to look out. And on the day in my teenage years and in my 20s and in my 30s and my 40s and my 50s, when I wondered where the Lord is, where are you, Lord? I've gotten to be 80. I'm like, oh, now I see it. And for some situations in life, it's going to take beyond our lifetime. In fact, I think for the first 1 million years in heaven, we're basically going to hear this sound. Oh, now I see what you were doing. And I feel like Jesus will say to us, I know, that's why I was saying, just trust me, keep coming, just trust me. So the Lord goes before you, the Lord is behind you, the Lord is beside you. But I told you there's three locations where God is. Crossing. There's actually a fourth one. And for no additional cost, I'm going to tell you what that fourth one is, all right? And with all due respect to the first three, because they're powerful, and we could close there, I think, this fourth one actually is even more powerful. This fourth one is actually a bit shocking. Shocking in the sense that the Apostle Paul, who was entrusted to write and explain this to us, you can see him all these many years later going, I'm going to try my best, but I'm telling you, this is crazy. It's crazy good. It's a mystery. God was working on this the whole time. It's been hidden for generations, and now it's been made known to you. I want to show you this mystery. And I'm telling you, one of the things I've been praying for us leading up to today is if we can just get a hold of this, it will change our view of going, Lord, where are you? Because God is closer than you think. So this is what Paul writes in one of my favorite books in the Bible, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. He's trying to describe this other location of where God is. And he says this, Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. I have become its servant. He's talking about the message of God, gospel. I've become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept for ages and generations. All right, there's this mystery that's been kept, that God's been working on. It's been kept hidden, but now is disclosed to you, the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. What is the mystery, Paul? Here's the mystery. The fourth location, which is Christ in you. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. What this means is that when you place your faith in Jesus, not only do you get eternal salvation, that's awesome, but you get the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of Jesus goes to work with you, goes home with you. The same Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you. What's that fourth location, Jeff? Here's the fourth location. Not only does the Lord go before you, behind you, and beside you, but the Holy Spirit is bestowed in you. That is a game changer. That's a game changer for your life. It's a game changer for your workplace. It's a game changer for your school. It's a game changer for your community. It's a game changer for the world, because the Spirit of Christ lives in you. So, Lord, where are you? Lord, where are you? Well, here's where the Lord is. The Lord goes before you. So what's one step that you can take tomorrow to keep pace with him? The Lord is behind you. So when you look back, don't see your past, see your Savior, see your Redeemer, and keep moving forward. The Lord is beside you. So what would you do if you were confident that the Lord was with you and the Holy Spirit is bestowed in you? Lord, live out in me, in my community. That's where the Lord is, and as I mentioned, as a result of that, you're not trapped by an uncertain economy or difficult circumstances or whatever. You're actually surrounded completely by the God of the universe. And that should bring us great hope and strength and peace today, because God is really, really close to you. So there I was, 2 months from after ruining my advertising career. And my dad, as I mentioned, was a pastor, and he was invited to speak at a small little church in New Bern, Georgia. I've lived in Georgia all my life. I'd never even heard of New Bern, Georgia up to this point. And my dad shared that story. And there in the church that day was a gentleman by the name of Steve Polk. You've never heard of Steve Polk, but the next time you're in Atlanta, go to the state capitol. I'll meet you there for breakfast. That'll be great. And then next to the state capitol, I'll show you this huge plaza called the Steve Polk Plaza. It was named after him by the state of Georgia because he was dearly beloved and knew a lot of people. So he came up to my dad that day, handed my dad his business card, and said, "Hey, have Jeff call me. I have an opportunity for him." So I called Mr. Polk the next day. I met with him. He hired me. And I won't bore you with the details of the job that he hired me for, but I'm telling you, it catapulted my career in ways I never would have imagined. And in fact, I didn't share this at the first two services. I'm probably going to regret saying this, but Dale mentioned it, so I blame Dale. So when Forbes magazine named me one of 20 speakers, business speakers you shouldn't miss, there's not a chance in the world that would have happened without Steve Polk, all right? Well, so it catapulted my career. But I don't want to bore you with that. What I would rather do is I would rather tell you the impact that he had. He was my first business mentor and the impact that he had on my life. My first day at work for Mr. Polk, I went in his office. He said, "Jeff, I have 3 things for you, all right? I'm ready. I got my advertising degree. I'm ready to advertise, right?" And so he goes, "Okay, number one, write this down, Jeff. Okay, number one, there's not a limit to what a person can do when he or she doesn't care who gets the credit. Write that down." I'm like, "Okay, all right. I'm not sure what this has to do with advertising, but I'm writing it down, all right? Number two, leave things better than when you found them. At some point, you're going to leave here, so leave us better. Everywhere you go, there should be a ripple effect. Make sure it's a great positive ripple effect. And number three, live your life as if it's better to give than to receive." Write it down. Got it, Jeff? Okay. All right. Go have, that was my orientation day one. All right. So, and I had the opportunity over 18 months to see Steve Polk live that out in ways that still shape me to this day. But 18 months into working for Mr. Polk, he was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of cancer. And it was shocking. It was sudden. And because he was so dearly beloved, and he loved flowers, flowers and plants flooded his hospital room. And visitors tried to get in to see him. And his family, very gracious, said, hey, no more flowers. And we can't take any more visitors right now. But a few days later, after all of this, his daughter called me and said, hey, Dad's been asking to see you. So I went up to the hospital, and I go into the hospital, and the first thing I notice is there are no flowers and no plants, which is a little odd because I'd heard there are too many flowers and plants. So we have a conversation, and eventually I could tell he was getting tired. So I was about to leave, and I said, well, Mr. Polk, I have one question, though, and I'm so sorry. I feel bad about this, but I was told that there are all these flowers and plants, and there's not a single one in your room. I would have brought you one. And then he looked at me and he smiled and he said, Jeff, remember number three? Live your life as if it's better to give than to receive. So I went and asked the kind nurses who are taking care of me to go throughout the hospital and to find people who are here who didn't have any flowers, who didn't have any plants, and take my flowers and give them to them. I will never, ever forget that moment. And then a few months later, on, of all days, my birthday, March the 7th, Steve Polk passed away. And every March 7th, I'll drive out to his graveside or get by myself, and I ask this simple prayer to the Lord. Lord, or question, am I being a good steward of his influence in my life? But every birthday, I'm reminded that, Crossing, I almost missed it. Almost missed it. Oh, I got to take this job because God's abandoned me. And, you know, if I turn this job down, nothing. God can't do anything. I got to take this. I got to compromise my convictions and what God is calling me to do. And fortunately for me, I had a dad that goes, whoa, 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 time out. That's not how this is working. Make this decision knowing that God is with you. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and know that God is near. And son, I'm telling you, there's coming a day that you're going to look back and see it was one of the best decisions you ever made. And brothers and sisters of the Crossing, my sweet, dear dad was absolutely, perfectly correct. But your story is the same. Because you're dealing with the same God. And I know I don't know your story, and I know it's easy for me to stand up here for a few minutes and go, the Lord is with you, but I'm telling you, he is. And he's going before you, and he's behind you, and he's beside you, and his spirit is bestowed in you. And I think there's no better way for us to close our time together today than to just worship him. And for him in this moment of worship to remind us, that's right, I am with you. I am for you. I am before you, behind you, beside you, and bestowed in you. So, Father, we give this moment to you, and we thank you for the truth that you are with us and that you are closer than we think. And so I pray for everyone at every location watching online that this would be a moment of worship that you remind us that you're near, you're close, and that you love us, and that you're writing a story that someday we'll be able to talk about to our kids, our grandkids, our friends, and say, let me share with you those moments when I asked the question, Lord, where are you? Now I see it. He was there all the time. We're grateful for you, and I ask all this in Jesus' name.